Now the market's chasing headlines once again. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. From the Ag Secretary talking this morning to the President this afternoon, a lot of headlines out there. We're going to ask that of Mike Zuzulo. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. And what are your thoughts? I mean, a lot of headlines being thrown at our growers right now.
Yeah, there really are, Susan. And I felt extra disappointed on Tuesday with this jam-packed news headline day that we contended with, because it was coming out almost hourly. In fact, the headlines for the livestock market that we've been under that kind of pressure this week so far almost seemed like it bled over into the grain markets, and most of that it was already set up that the wheat and the WTI crude oil were under pressure and back under this mindset in the trade, I think, and a return to this fear that we're going to have an oversupply of wheat and crude oil in 2026. And wheat and crude, and why I was disappointed, did not embrace the idea that the U.S. and China were under a thaw in terms of their trade relationship. And the reason I say that is because we've seen those beans get up close to 1040, up against major resistance around 1035, 1040 area. And we're now back at a point where the corn and wheat really need to come in and support the beans, in my opinion. And it looked like to me after Monday's close, wheat was looking like a potential buy signal. And if the wheat could be let out of the pen, the corn would follow, because the corn seems to be hamstrung by the wheat here this season, as I hear more and more about tightening yields and lower corn yields in relation to what producers thought they would have, in relation to what USDA's numbers are, and even in relation to what producers thought they would have in soybeans. It seems as though yields in corn are down in expectations versus even the soybeans. And so we saw this big sell-off in the silver, down 8%. We saw this big sell-off in the gold, down 5%. But what we didn't get was a dollar currency that continued to soften. And I think that is probably where I would lay most of the blame, with the crude oil and with the soft red wheat coming in and being a disappointment for me. Now, last thing I'll say is, as we were heading into Tuesday's close, the WTI started to strengthen. I started to fish around for some news on that. Sure enough, the U.S. is expected now to buy for the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. We'll see if that carries any weight on Tuesday night's trade and on Wednesday's.
So we did have a question that comes from a farmer, and it really focuses on, what are your thoughts of corn come January? I mean, there's a lot of questions: storage, export demand, input costs, but is there the potential for some strong dynamics to kind of work into this market come the new year?
I think there should be. I have said, to answer that producer's question, you know, pretty directly, I've said to clients and subscribers for several months now that I believe that any contract in the corn, whether it's D's 25 or March 26 or May or July 26, should be able fundamentally to get up towards a technical area that I would say is fundamentally justified, and that's around the 455, 465 area on the board, Susan. And part of that is because I believe the yield is lower than what USDA is suggesting. In fact, this week I went from a 184.2 national yield down to about a 183.5 national yield, with the idea that I might even drop it one more time as we get closer to the holidays, if I keep hearing what I'm hearing. And the Western Corn Belt has disease pressure. The Central and Eastern Corn Belt have drought pressures. And I think that's really showing up. I've had two clients in North Central Illinois call me within 4 or 5 days of one another, who 20, 30 days ago were telling me they were definitely going to have a record corn yield. They called me, they're almost done with their corn shelling, and said, well, I'm not going to have a record. It's probably going to be around 220, 230, which is way off my record. I think we've just simply forgotten the idea that our world stocks to use levels in corn are at 21.3%. And what that means is we're at the lowest since 2012. So you can talk about 2 billion bushels carry over all you want, in terms of 25, 26 carryover, but we are still historically very, very tight and I would say razor thin when it comes to world ending stocks, especially until Brazil gets their next crop off. Last thing I'll say about that 460 area as a reason for why I think it could get there is I really do think that the Ukrainian and Russian wheat and corn crops are still not in the bin yet. And I've seen numbers go up in wheat as far as production for Russia. I'm just real skeptical about that given their weather pattern, even now during corn harvest and getting in winter wheat planting.
Well, there's so many factors that are going to be weighed in as we look at the ever-evolving world that we're in of global politics in general. So that really comes down to the need to have a good marketing plan, I think, in place and having conversations if you're unsure about what you should be doing.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. And I think this is where, for me, and when I add everything together, especially with the increase in acreage base that Brazil is going after in soybeans, and I'm just so dubious that the U.S. and China are going to come to an agreement where it's going to make a difference on our soybean exports before the first of the next year in terms of the next calendar year in January, February. I would still say the 1040 area in November beans and the ability of the back end, November 26 beans, to get up close to 1080 this week. I think those are very good overvalue levels unless corn and wheat find support to bring to the soybean complex. But fundamentally, I think that would be probably the top of the range unless we'd have a Brazilian weather event, which is possible. But I'd say you can always buy it back on paper if you see a weather event after the holidays.
So then, Mike, what's your thoughts on the whole beef conversation that's coming out of Argentina and what we may or may not see here in the States?
Yeah, you know, what I am waiting to see, Susan, and develop a marketing plan. I did do some hedging about a week or so ago for 50% of Q4 and 50% of Q1 with a real strong concentration on feeders, but did some fats as well. What I'm really focusing on throughout this heavy news headline type mindset is whether the Trump administration is taking a page out of the playbook of what they wanted to do to egg prices earlier this year before Easter and how they drove those egg prices lower. I think that's probably what they want to do. And it's not just Argentina. We're talking to Brazil. I suspect we're talking to Australia. I have heard that Australia is a little bit light on exports to China because Brazil has taken so much market share. So I would say there's probably three countries that we could bring in some beef. And then the ultimate question is, when do we open the Mexico border as we get ready to negotiate the USMCA, North American Free Trade Agreement, the new one, the revised one? And I think this is where I am inclined to say that it wasn't President Trump's comments that drove the market lower. It was that we went too high, and most ranchers I've spoken with would agree. It doesn't make them feel good about what President Trump has said about bringing Argentine beef in. And I believe the reason that is because we've been through this before, where we've tried to bring down retail prices, but really all we do is hit the producer prices, and retail prices maybe skip along a little bit lower, and then they jump right back up again. It's very difficult in the beef industry to do what you did in the egg industry earlier this year, but I think that might be what President Trump's trying to do to get the food inflation back down before the holidays. So that's where I'm leaning as far as wanting to hedge more, not less, because I think this is a program that he's going after at this stage.
Well, thanks so much for the conversation. Mike Zuzulo joining us today. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's a Tuesday version of the Market Wrap-Up right here on the American Ag Network.